after nearly 40 years with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, last 15 years as the director of the Game and Fish Department, Terry Steinwan has decided to retire. I'm Mike Anderson with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Terry, after 39 years at the Game and Fish Department, you've decided to retire. Give us a little bit of background on your positions held here at the Game and Fish.
Well, I've been here quite a while. I started out as a field biologist, actually garrison diversion fisheries biologist. I managed the canal lakes and a few other lakes around central North Dakota, primarily worked in biotransfer issues, though, honestly. A lot of meetings, a lot of international contacts. And in 1990, the chief of fisheries job came open. I applied for that and was fortunate enough to get that and worked that for 15 years. And when the director's position came open, when Dean Hildebrand retired, I was actually asked to apply for it by the governor's office, and I applied for it and got it that, and here we are now.
In the 39 years as a fisheries biologist and a leader of the agency, what comes to mind about North Dakota's natural resources?
They change constantly. You know, we can go from boom to bust in a real big hurry. When I took over in 2006 as director, let me back up. When I took over as fisheries division chief, we were in the middle of a drought. And of course, obligate species for water would be fish. And not having in a whole lot of water on the landscape, our fisheries weren't doing very well. 185 lakes, and some of those pretty shallow at that point in time, we were pushing just trying to keep some recreational fisheries in those lakes. Fast forward to 2006 when I became director, coming off, or we're in the middle actually of a wet cycle, and CRP, 3.2 million acres of CRP, we were really ramping up on the recreational fishing side of things, but even more so on birds, pheasants, grouse, white-tailed deer. They were doing fantastic. So we really seen some tremendous hunting and fishing during that point in time. Since that time, we've lost about 2 million acres of CRP. We've seen some other challenges associated in managing the resource or producing that resource. Fisheries has continued to really climb, though. Those guys have done a tremendous job. About over 400 lakes managed for recreational fisheries right now, and I can't think of one that's not a great fishery at this point in time. And of course, our wildlife division has done a tremendous job of working our way back from a pretty low point in deer numbers, and we're working our way back right now. But again, one bad winter can set us back. We still need to continue working on the habitat issues.
You've dedicated your whole career to hunting,
right?
Fishing,
well,
and outdoor,
yeah,
recreation.
I got into this field because I love to hunt and fish. Everybody that buys a license evidently likes, at least like, maybe doesn't love it like I do, but likes to hunt and fish, enjoy the outdoors. Outdoors is probably the best. We have great outdoors in North Dakota, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud to be part of the process, part of the team, part of that whole community that provides that opportunity. I want my grandkids, I want everybody's kids and grandkids to enjoy what I've had the opportunity to enjoy. And if we can make it better, by God, we should make it better.
In the last 15 years, Terry, you've been the director of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. What are some of the biggest hurdles that you've had to deal with?
Habitat. Yeah, always going to be habitat. Enough water for fish and quality water. Doesn't mean water isn't just water. It's what constituents, what keeps those fish alive, what helps them grow in the water, which is one reason aquatic nuisance species, or ANS, is a priority for this department, and should be and has to be for the next number of years, because zebra mussel, curly leaf pondweed, Eurasian water milfoil, silver carp, all of those have the real potential to make that resource decline. In terms of the wildlife side, it's habitat, winter habitat. We always have winter in North Dakota. And if these animals don't have a place to just have a little thermal cover anyway, they're not gonna make it through. Whether it's a rooster pheasant, or it's that nice buck, or that little fawn, which are the first to succumb to that because they just don't have the body reserves to get through those winters. Those are always gonna be the challenges. we're kind of like, it's never good enough, but we understand that we have to work with a lot of private landowners to get that. And private landowners across the state have been fantastic. Everybody's aware that's hunted North Dakota of our plots land, private land open to sportsmen. That couldn't happen without the cooperation of a whole pile of private landowners out there.
Okay, what obstacles remain?
Habitat still remains. It's always going to be an issue. Again, like I just said, we don't feel it's ever going to be good enough unless we can get everybody that wants to go out fishing has access to that lake, has the ability to go fishing in that area. Everybody that wants a deer license gets a deer license. And again, that's all habitat related. Will we ever get there? You know, that's always going to be the goal. I'm not really sure we're ever going to get there, because once you get there, you're going to want to move that goalpost just a little bit further.
How about maintaining our hunting and fishing license sales, Terry, with the R3 initiatives and all that?
Right. R3 initiative, it's a dual purpose. In my mind, of course, Game and Fish being totally funded by license sales and excise taxes on hunting and fishing equipment and a few other dollars out there, none of it general tax dollars. That's one of the goals, because without that, we aren't able to do the business we have been or would be able to do it in the future. To me, a bigger issue is keeping that hunting and fishing heritage alive in North Dakota. Again, like I said, I want my grandkids, I want everybody's kids and grandkids to experience what I had the opportunity, the privilege to experience. And that, to me, is a bigger portion of R3 than the license sales, is give them the opportunity, making sure they understand that, wow, this is a lot of fun.
One of the biggest challenges was the electronic posting bill.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't say the electronic posting bill was a challenge. Hunting access and how hunters are able to access that land was the issue. Very, very contentious issue for years. This last session was my eighth as director and working on issues. Almost every one of those sessions that came up, and I know it came up before I was director. Looking back on legislative issues, it certainly has been there for longer than 15 years. When we came about, and I can't put Game and Fish at the forefront in this. Again, this was a real group effort on getting this done between conservation community and landowners, private landowners. That, what can we do to make it work? And some people call it a compromise. I would rather call it a collaborative solution, because the people got to know each other, they got to understand each other, and they said, yeah, we can make this work. This can work. And it's going to change to some extent in the future. I mean, this to me, if you want to look at it in terms of a human life, this thing was just born. And actually, the idea came out 4 years ago. It was just too early at that point in time. The technology wasn't necessarily totally there. In the 2019 session, it started building itself. And now it was born this year, and it's gonna have to crawl a little bit before it's able to walk and run. So I fully expect it will, because it had good support. Again, detractors from both sides, from some hunting group or hunting people and some private landowners, still don't agree with it. And we're probably gonna see some hopefully minor glitches in it, but it'll get better and better and better. And again, it's another one of those issues that I'm proud to be part of that process, being the first in the United States to have an electronic posting thing. And again, it's just an option. It's not everybody has to electronic post. You can still physically post, but you can electronically post also.
Okay. Are there any misconceptions that people might have about the North Dakota Game and Fish Department that you want to clear up?
I guess, and again, it would be a perception that we have all this authority, we have all this power. We have some authority, we have so much less than a lot of people think. Gosh, remember in my early days as director, we were working on some elk issues with Western ranchers, and they felt that we had the authority to do this and just bang, do it. And I said, no, we don't. It took a number of meetings for them to understand it, but they actually joked about it towards the end. I don't have the authority, and the department doesn't have the authority that a lot of people, so to me, that is the biggest misperception out there. And I don't know if we'd want that kind of authority. You gotta have that balance.
Terry, what are you most proud of? What do you want to hang your hat on when you're leaving the office here?
I'd say the people we've hired over the years. I've been asked, what's your legacy? I never came into this job with an idea or a goal of leaving a legacy. That was never even crossed my mind, but in thinking back on it, the biggest legacy in it is the people I'm leaving here that can do the job. Employees of Game and Fish, division chiefs, section leaders, they've made this job relatively easy. We've done a great job of hiring the right people, the passionate people, the very smart people, and to me, that's the best legacy anybody can have, because the public can be rest assured that although Terry Steinman's gone, and I'm sure some people are glad Terry Steinman's gonna be gone, but things aren't gonna change in terms of management of the Fish and Wildlife Resource. You know, who's ever sitting at that seat next is gonna recognize, and the internal applicants, I guarantee you, are gonna know it already, but we have a great team. Don't mess with it too much.
Okay, a year from now, you've retired for 1 year. What are some of the things about the Game and Fish that are gonna pop in your head?
No, I don't, that's a good question. I don't know what will pop into my mind at that point in time. It'll probably be that, gee whiz, it's continually changing, because there are a lot of retirements on the horizon. There's no doubt about it. It's changed a lot since I first started. I was a young pup, and now I'm the old guy. What will pop into my mind? It will probably be something like, gosh, they're doing a good job, I promise myself I'm not gonna be the annoying ex-employee that says, well, how come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? No, I'm not doing that. So I will promise the next person I won't do that.
After 45 years, Terry, with your seasonal work for the Game and Fish Department, what are you gonna do now?
Once my boat is fixed, I'm going fishing. And when fall comes around, I'm going hunting. And I got a lot of fixing up. The honey-do list has gone pretty long in the last 15 years, and some I just haven't gotten done, some I've just put off. But I'm gonna miss the people, and I'm gonna have to stay busy so I don't totally miss the people. But yeah, hunting and fishing is gonna be my priority. Middle of the winter is probably when I'm gonna say, I might come out and have a cup of coffee with you guys at that point in time. Being an off legislative year, so you'll have time. But that's my priority. And I have 4 grandkids from 1 to 5, not very old yet. And I want them to have the same love of the outdoors that I gained. And granted, I had a little different upbringing on a farm and able to do stuff that they aren't able to do right now. But I want to give them that opportunity. Let's go out shore fishing at a little lake here. Let's go walk in the pasture. I want to show them what I was able to do as a kid.
Okay, what advice, before you walk out the door, do you have for the person that's gonna fill your seat?
Listen very carefully. Listen to what's being said. Balance the interests. When I was hired by then Governor Hovind, he gave me some real good advice: balance the interests. And I will guarantee you, that's going to be the toughest thing you have to do, because, again, coming from a farm background, I understand what farmers and ranchers are going through. It's tough times out there. They can get some boom times, but for the most part, it's pretty tough. But I also understand what my responsibility was as a game and fish director, and of course that's Fish and Wildlife Service, trying to get those populations sustainable and growing. That's gonna be the toughest job, it always has been, for me anyway, is balance the interests. And I'm going to leave, I have a little figurine on my shelf. It's a metal cylinder and kind of a stick man with a balancing. You hit it and it rocks back and forth. I'm gonna leave that for the next person. It's a daily reminder of balance the interests.
Terry, good luck on your retirement. It's been a pleasure working for you.
You know, this has been the greatest job in the world, working with the greatest people in the world. I'm gonna miss the people, but I'm not gonna miss the stress.
A lot of great information.
Thanks.